My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Junks are on a road trip today. We're at the Monumental Sports Network Studios in Washington, D.C. Happy to be joined in said studio by the head coach of your Washington Mystics, Eric Thibault, joins us. Coach, thanks for joining us. We appreciate the time.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yep. During the playoff push, you're taking time out of your day. You could be game planning. You carved a chunk out for the Junks, and we do appreciate that.
I had to come and get my mind right for the day. You know, right. That's the right way to start for a big game.
How shocked are you that you're in this position?
After the
this
start,
point, yeah.
A little bit shocking.
Yeah.
You know, 0-12, you don't, even in your worst case scenarios, you don't think about 0-12. And to get from that point to now having a chance to play our way into the playoffs is
what were shocking. You going through at 0-12? Like, what was that grind like for you? Was your brain exploding? Did you see that coming, that kind of start? No.
No. We had some injuries right off the bat. We actually played well, like really well opening night. Had a chance to beat New York opening night and lost basically a one-possession game. We had a bunch of close ones. And actually 0-10, 0-11, 0-12, we played really well. So you had hope it was coming. But every
day
you looked
at that point, like personally, what's it like? You're the head coach of a team. A professional team that is 0-10, 0-11, 0-12. Like, what's it like after the game? Can you decompress it all?
Not easily. No, not easily. I don't know. I think we were pretty good about trying to find some solutions. That's all you can really do in that situation. Sleep was not great. You know, you feel I think you probably feel the weight of the responsibility for everybody when you're the head coach of the team in that situation. And
hey, I'm the head coach of two soccer teams right now. Now they're 7 and 8 year olds.
It's all on
it's
you.
A little different.
It's all on you. You
got to
solve it all.
Yeah.
So you know, I did see progress. You know, like I was saying, in the later stages of that, so you kind of had some hope. But you know, you need to win one.
What's that like walking into your bosses at 0-9, 0-10? Like I know that Ted is a notoriously loyal guy, but at some point he had to be like, huh. Got to get a win here at some point. What was that dynamic like?
Well, we lost the two games back to back at home at Cap One against Chicago and Indiana. Mm-hmm. But he was sitting courtside there and he saw us play well.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that helped. You know, you're trying to do a little convincing to them, almost trying to convince yourself, like, hey, this is going to turn. We're playing well. We're playing good basketball. It's going to turn. And luckily it did. And, you know, even these last couple weeks with a really young team, we're just kind of on a run that maybe we still didn't expect.
Yeah, they probably have great confidence now because of how they've played the last 10 games. You've won 7 out of 10. You're right there in the mix. Currently the 8th seed. Two other teams are, I think you have identical records with those teams. But you play the Liberty, best team in the league, and they haven't wrapped up the one seed yet. You said they need one win. Mm-hmm. So I assume they're playing all their studs tonight. And then, of course, Caitlin Clark. We think Caitlin Clark's going to play on Thursday. So let's talk about the Liberty. How do you defend them?
You just have to make everything really, you know, uncomfortable for them. If you just let them run their stuff and move the ball and shoot threes, it's going to be a long night. But, you know, we've played them a lot over the past couple of years, including a playoff series last year. I think we have defended them relatively well. I don't know, we got to ride the wave a little bit. Like, you know, not try to do too many different things.
Right.
Play good. We've been playing good defense. Need to get some, you know, easy offense off of our defense and, you know, try to ride our home crowd a little bit.
Now, Leah Edwards was out this past game, the dream game, with the ankle injury. Is she back for the Liberty game?
I don't know if we'll have her tonight. She's doubtful for tonight.
Okay.
But hopefully it's not too serious and we'll get her back, you know, if not Thursday, then maybe a playoff run.
Right, right.
Did you know that Caitlin Clark was this good?
Yes.
You did. You're not yes. surprised.
No, I'm not surprised.
Since when? Like, have you known about her for 4 years, 3 years? How long? Because most people, it's in the last year.
My sister was coaching at Minnesota as an assistant when Caitlin came in. And, you know, she's brash now, Caitlin, but she was brash as a freshman going into college and playing with a lot of confidence. So we saw it early. I think probably her junior, maybe by her junior year, you're like, oh, this is like a real deal.
Mm-hmm. How are the Tebows ranked in terms of coaching?
Well, I'm third, unfortunately.
You're down the list.
I mean, my dad's got the, you know, the Hall of Fame resume, and my sister is, you know, the head coach at Fairfield now, and they had I think they finished 31-2 last year.
Wow,
and won,
that's great.
Won their league. So,
was there ever a thought not to stick in the family business, or was it you were just like destined to be a coach?
I thought I was going to be a sports journalist. So, you know, I went to journalism school,
okay.
And then started working with the team at Mizzou. I was playing for with the women's team as a practice player, and got back into the coaching side. And
you picked the right path.
You loved it.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun, I think.
It depends on, at 0-12, I wasn't sure.
Right. Yeah. No, but I want to get back to Caitlin, though, and just kind of just for a moment, because I was always struck when she first came into the league, and she had a little bit of a transition, right, before she really, you know, got going. Now she's like full-blown. She's in her mode. And there were quotes from Gino Auriemma, one of the greatest of all time, right? And he kind of knocked her a little bit, said that, like, he didn't really recruit her, right, because he thought she was a little – so when she was kind of struggling in that transition, I thought his analysis wasn't fair. So you had no doubt that her talent – because he said she was a little slow and that she wasn't quite as athletic and he wasn't surprised that she was struggling. You had no doubt about her abilities.
I'm not surprised that any rookie struggles.
Yeah.
You know, especially
yeah.
she had a brutal schedule to start the year. It's notoriously hard for guards coming into our league. And so, you know, she struggled for about a month, and that was it. So, you know, we're all in for it the next decade.
The good part of it is, though, it has brought more eyeballs, right? Myself included.
Sure.
And checking out the league, and you see, you know what? She's remarkable. But there are a lot of other girls, women, doing remarkable things in this league that – I'm not used to from like 20 years ago. Like, she's not the only one playing a different style of basketball these days.
No, and I think hopefully what's starting to happen is what the people in the league wish would happen, which, hey, the spotlight is great. You know, and now as she plays different people in the league and more exposure comes nationally, that you're going to get to see all these other stories. You know, people
right.
might not have been familiar with Asia Wilson, but now you're seeing the type of season she's having. And
right. She goes over 1,000 for the first time in WNBA season. That's crazy.
And so, you know, I think people that really love the game, that are basketball fans, will get introduced maybe through this way and then fall in love with the rest of the league.
How much is analytics part of your coaching nowadays? Like, thinking about the three-point shooting, you have people that shoot, you know, 35%, 40% on your team. How much is analytics involved now in coaching versus maybe in the past?
I think we've been at it for a while. It's definitely a big part of it. I mean, we get more data than we can, you know, even process for a two-day turnaround for a game. So I think part of my job is just to try to narrow it into something that I can actually take to the team that we can use. So. Huge. I mean, I think we were probably among the forerunners in our league for trying to do it. I mean, I used to chart stuff by hand. We don't have to do that anymore. But huge. It goes into team building, goes into the decisions we make in, you know, scouting reports from night to night. But we got the tracking data this year for the first time. So,
oh, wow. What is that?
It's like the cameras that are in the arena that are tracking all the players. We just get so many more things.
So you see how much they run.
Yeah, Second Spectrum is the company we use, similar to like a Hawkeye. So we can see matchups, we can see drive directions, you can see all these things that was hard to capture.
Wow. Let me ask you this. Obviously, as the coach, you want to go, you want to advance the playoffs, you want to win a championship. But are there internal debates that happen all the time? Like, it's better to just maybe get a lot, you know, get a higher draft pick and not just kind of squeak into the playoffs? Is that an internal debate that happens?
I think it probably is going on around our league. I won't speak to how much it goes in our – I mean, we've been in the mode of trying to win games. We also have Atlanta's pick. So we're going to end up – no matter what we do, it's going to end up with a lottery pick this year. So we're going to have two picks in the top top half of the first round.
All right.
How did you guys do against Caitlin? You beat her the last time you played them in July.
Yeah, 1-2. We lost
1-2, okay.
Lost a close one here. Lost one there. We didn't play very well and then got a win last time we played them.
How do you defend her? I mean, she can get her shot off whenever she wants.
It's that balance between the shooting and then you overreact and she kills you with her passing.
Right.
So we tried to take – I mean, I think the biggest thing is she's going to have the ball so much. You got to be comfortable with the angles you're taking of, hey, we're going to try to take away her early threes, but then we're not going to stay with her forever.
Right.
Luckily, we got some pretty good individual defenders that can just make it hard for her.
Yeah, awesome.
Well, Coach Tebow, we appreciate the time. We know you're busy. Two games left.
Good luck the rest of the way, man.
Appreciate it.
I got a coach's meeting in a half hour.
That's right.
Yeah, I know.
That's right. It's a busy day. Best of luck in the last two games.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Coach Eric Tebow of the Mystics. They've got two games left. Hopefully, they qualify for the playoffs. Coming up at 8:20, Washington Capitals head coach Spencer Carberry joins the Junks. We'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.